Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Kellow, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us today for Packaging, Digital Meets Litho. I think we all hear that question, you know, will litho be around in 10 years' time? Is digital print muscling in the litho territory? Can these two rival technologies work together? Ever since digital print has emerged as a viable alternative to litho, people have been asking these questions. One of the key areas that we're being asked about is the whole world of packaging. As brand owners face compressed timelines and increased market competition, digital packaging is helping businesses become more nimble and better equipped to accommodate fast turnaround. A digital solution can streamline workflow, reorders, special promos, and new market entry. It can enable brand owners to get their products to market first and get a lot more attention in a crowded marketplace. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Jamie Tom, and Jamie is the General Manager of AGI Sherwood & Telgo, and he's going to share how his company is responding to these changing market dynamics using a blend of technology, both digital and litho, to meet the needs of the brand owner. Before we get started, what I would like to do is just spend a minute to make sure that you can enjoy the webinar properly. First of all, if you're having technical difficulties, let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. If you have a question for today's speaker, you can submit it via the Q&A box. You disable those pop-up blockers, and if you really want to see what this console can do, click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now, what Jamie and I will be covering with you today are a couple of critical topics. First of all, I'm going to be sharing some information from a study that InfoTrends did titled Packaging and the Brand Owner. And then what Jamie's going to do is really share the perspective from a practitioner at work. He's going to provide the converter's perspective on the role of traditional and digital technology. And then we'll wrap up with some recommendations and conclusions. Now, I tell everybody, when you think about packaging today, it really is the essence of the brand. Companies have become very clever in how they spend their advertising budget and how they use new media, such as viral campaigns and social media. However, no fast-moving consumer goods manufacturing company can avoid the fact that the greatest advertising for the product is the package. It's what that consumer sees on the shelf when they make that purchase. No matter how big that advertising budget is, these brands are going to succeed if people recognize their package. It truly is the essence of how they need to go to market for that shelf impact, and it's the contact point for the brand relationship. So when you think about packaging, it's a whole lot. It's a protective container for the content. It can be a dispensing mechanism. It can be a tracking and a tracing tool. It can act as a security agent. It can contain information and educate the consumer. It can become actually part of an interactive marketing campaign. And it's a major growth opportunity for the printing and publishing market. Now, one of the things that I tell everybody when you look at packaging is that it's a tremendous opportunity for the printing industry. First of all, it's huge and it's diverse. It's one of those applications that grows with the human population. It grows with economic development. It's never going to be displaced by an electronic document. And small format and emphasis on brand image make for full-color digital as a good option for the short run. Color digital is starting to become a key printing method. And, oh, by the way, packaging is also becoming a critical driver for multi-channel communication. There's little question that demand for packaging and package printing is growing worldwide. And there are a number of reasons for this. In emerging markets, urbanization and rising incomes are driving the demand for packaged goods, especially for packaged food items. In developed markets, populations are aging, which is increasing demand for pharmaceutical, healthcare items, and medical devices. In all markets, there's a movement from mass production to mass customization, which is ultimately resulting in shorter runs of more types of packaged printing and increased diversity in materials and design. Several factors offer major growth opportunities for packaged printing technology. There's increasing demand for high-quality, quick turnaround, and single-unit packages. And packaging with opportunities that lengthen the shelf life as well as make distribution easier. Clearly, it's a market where traditional technologies play a significant role, and that's flexo, letterpress, dry offset, and gravure. However, what we are seeing is as digital print becomes more cost-effective for many applications, it's becoming part of that current package printing mix. We also see tremendous opportunity for digital as the market evolves. InfoTrends does a forecast on the retail value from digital color label and packaging presses, and we look at it for the next 5 years. What we're seeing as we look around the world is that the growth in packaging technology that's digital will grow at a 13.5% compound annual growth rate. Now, what we did is we really wanted to understand the selling action behind digital print and its adoption in the market. And so we went out and we surveyed a number of brand owners, in fact, 150. And I'm going to spend the next several minutes sharing with you insights from the study that we just completed. There are a couple of critical, what I'll categorize as factors that we discovered. First of all, there's increased focus by U.S. companies on manufacturing, the packaging cost, cost reduction, and productivity. They look at sustainability and biodegradability as being important. They're looking at increased flexibility to handle a widening range of packaging requirements. By the way, that includes shorter packaging runs, with a wider variety of styles, sizes, and configurations to support an increase in SKUs. They're looking at the importance of security and tracking. They're asking that package to do a lot more as advertising budgets are cut. And there's an increased demand stemming from a growth of convenience in packaging. And last but not least, active and intelligent packaging can be part of a multi-channel interactive solution. Now, Jamie will also, I think, share this with you, but basically we've got two converging trends. First of all, conventional run lengths are coming down, and there's a decrease in demand for longer and longer run lengths, especially as brand owners attempt to do a better job at managing the supply chain. As cost and pricing comes down for digital technologies, the digital run lengths are going up. And so what you're seeing is brand owners and digital is meeting and providing a good value proposition to meet those requirements of that brand owner. First and foremost, it's the supply chain. And what people are finding is that they want to minimize the risk of overruns, obsolescence, and what they're looking for is packaging solutions that deliver print and the packaging materials just in time. The other component is one of really doing a great job at brand management and consumer engagement, and digital helps there as well. Now, one of the first things that we did with the study was we wanted to understand the awareness on the part of the brand owner for digital technology. And basically what we did is we asked them if they were aware of the full-color digital press technology that's now used by many converters for label and packaging printing. And the answer is more than 75% of them understood the availability of the technology. The other thing we wanted to understand was versioning. The explosion of SKUs is well-known not just for the U.S., but for a lot of the different developed countries. And it's occurred as brand owners have sought to target new markets defined by ethnic groups, gender, age, or geography. Adding one country to a brand's marketing plan can require not only a language change to many labels, but it may even require redesign for cultural reasons. Or you could have a sports championship or a new movie that can be an opportunity to market to a brand to fans of specific professional teams, or they could offer a new version targeted at moviegoers for a special feature film. A couple of examples, Hobby Lobby, a major candle manufacturer, grew sales by 3% with digitally printed seasonal introductions. L'Oreal introduced a line of kids' shampoos using Toy Story 3 characters. And Heineken is letting consumers build their own brand, all where short-run versions make sense. Now, what we're seeing is this move to versioning is driven by business need. What those brand owners told us is that there's a requirement for more targeted marketing, which is driving more versions of a package, folding carton, or label. There's a migration to more and more private labels. In a lot of instances, they need different versions based on FDA or other regulatory compliance. And last but not least, there's a need to test market to make sure that that package, that image, resonates with the consumer. And so what we're seeing is that it cuts across all packaging types in terms of where they want to do versioning, whether it's prime labels, folding cartons, flexible packaging, or shrink screens. The next major element that brand owners told us was that sustainability is critical to the mix. Both brand owners are focused on identifying end-to-end value chains and packaging strategies that reduce their product's carbon footprint while still improve the bottom line. And this need suits the needs of marketing departments and the consumer product companies, as well as the needs that they have for corporate social responsibility programs, because shorter runs mean less weight, less waste, and a lesser environmental impact. In the survey that we did of brand owners, participants were asked exactly how important sustainability was in their decisions to purchase packaging and labels. 28.4% of the respondents indicated that it was highly important, and another 30.3% said that it was important. It was deemed most important by companies that had revenues that topped $1 billion. In a massive drive to reduce overall production, both from the point of view of cost as well as the desire to reduce the environmental impact, the forces are coming into position to make digital print for packaging highly viable. Brand owners that favor green and sustainability want a partner that can make these efforts coincide with cost reduction. And what that links to is a shorter run that yield reduced waste and reduced obsolescence. We actually believe that you'll start to see a long tail effect for packaging, similar to what the book industry experienced. It's going to have a similar bell curve where you use digital print for test marketing and in the launch phase, which gives way maybe to conventional production as volumes increase, and then back to digital for that overall long tail effect. Now, the other thing that we're seeing is a need to personalize. And we've got a lot of creative people out there that are focused on personalization. One of my favorite examples happens to be a UK manufacturer called Thornton's, who does chocolate boxes, and they work with Iron Gate Digital. And what they've done is they've actually let you create a personalized gift box for chocolate, and you can choose the size of the box, you can place a personal image on that box, add a personalized message, and even select the color of the box and get that printed and delivered as a special gift to someone special. We see applications abound for requirements for personalization. In fact, I think the opportunity is limitless. We actually ask brand owners if their company used personalization or versioning for any labels to support their brand. Well, we don't think that it's one-to-one personalization. What we are seeing is a growth in versioning. And, in fact, 33% of the people responded yes, and another 10% indicated they had plans to start in the next 12 months. And what we saw was that some of the barriers that were out there are starting to be addressed. You'll hear, I think, Jamie discuss this as well, but, you know, the reason that they've stayed away from it is the fulfillment process, perhaps the IT resources, or they've got a converter that actually doesn't support personalization. When asked about the use of personalization or versioning for labels and packaging, 36% said we use it regularly for target marketing and or market testing. The next group, or 30%, said, hey, we use it only a little for PR kits, mailings to key customers. And then we've got others that say we're starting to use it regularly for target marketing and or test marketing. So, again, a migration, it's going to be an evolution and not a revolution. Another big thing that we're starting to see in the market are major brands moving products to online stores. And I don't know if anybody observed this, but last May, Procter & Gamble, one of the largest consumer goods corporations in North America, opened up a direct online stores for customers in the U.S. And it was dubbed the eStore. And basically what it did is it featured the breadth of P&G brands, including Tide, Head & Shoulders, Pampers, Swiffer, Gillette, and Febreze. And what they did is through the eStore, they offered a single flat rate for standard shipping of $5, regardless of the quantity or size of the product. And what they said is basically I could order what I needed over the Internet and have it delivered for $5 to my house. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I keep monitoring the price of gas. That looks like a pretty good deal. And what they're doing is they're basically bypassing, in some instances, the retailer. When asked about online marketing, 40.6% of brand owners said they were marketing consumer products online, while another 16% said their companies will do so in the next 12 months. I actually, yesterday, ordered dog food over the Internet for my pet. If the order size was in excess of $50, the shipping was free. Now, we also asked, does your company have special labels of packaging for their online efforts? And in 39% of the instances, they said yes. In another 20% of the instances, they said no, but we plan to start doing special branding for our web-based materials in the next 12 months. So bypassing that brick-and-mortar facility is becoming an option for some of those large consumer goods organizations. Now, another thing that we looked at was do companies do serialized coding on any packaging or label activity so they can do track and trace? And what we saw was that, well, the response is where they do it. What they're really doing more realistically is they're doing it at batch levels and date levels so they can understand where and when specific batches were in fact attached or were produced or generated and on which dates. Now, one other thing that we're seeing in the marketplace, and I think it's probably one of the more exciting areas, is that the package is becoming part of the overall interactive marketing mix. And let me tell you the kinds of things that we're seeing. One of my favorite examples is, again, one done by Procter & Gamble for the World Cup. And what it did is it leveraged a concept called augmented reality. And basically what happens is I can put markers on a package, a piece of paper, and if I point at it with either a webcam on a PC or a cell phone, it will bring that image to life with three dimensions. And so what they did is they actually built in augmented reality to the Pringles product in Asia, and I could then partake in a three-dimensional game via webcam on a PC or my cell phone. And basically the AR technology fits the target market for the World Cup Soccer Pringles Initiative in China and young people that they were targeting from 18 to 24. What the young people saw was that it was a very cool technology. I could use the container, and it was a good fit for Pringles brand equity, and it made that brand playful and fun, and it was easily executed with the Pringles container. We also saw, while P&G is a big brand, we're also seeing people leverage it in smaller brands. There's a company called Culinary Twist that was founded in 2010 that makes gourmet sauces. The shopper at the supermarket can scan a quick response code on the product label, and it will then link to recipes for its sauces. The owner, Lynn Milos, is also going to blend that with digital couponing so that after I scan that label in the aisle, I'll be able to call up a coupon and actually redeem it at the checkout minutes later. Coca-Cola, another big brand, is using texting as part of its overall packaging strategy. And what they've done they did last year in partnership with Canadian wireless carrier Rogers Communications was they actually initiated a Twist Text and Save program. And what would happen is they would twist off the cap. Under the cap would be the proof of purchase label. And then what happens is I would twist it, I would text a number, key in the proof of purchase number, and a short message code, and I would either get 75 cents off my mobile phone bill or I could get 1,000 iCoke rewards points. So all of these are examples where the package has become an integral part, not just of being a carrier for product, reducing the cost of the supply chain, but it's truly become part of the interactive marketing mix. Now, that's a bit of background, and hopefully what I've done is broaden your perspective of what brand owners and packaging can do for your organization. What I'm going to do now is turn over to Jamie Toms, and I really want Jamie to share with you how he's blending the world of digital and traditional technology to leverage packaging. Jamie, take it away.
Many thanks, Barbara. Also, many thanks for the invitation to speak today. If I could ask that you help me make the presentation that comes up as interactive as possible, and just jump in at any time as we're moving through the slides to facilitate a good discussion and Q&A for all of those people listening. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about digital meets LIFO. I am English stroke European, so forgive me if some of the terminology is a bit different as we move on. But Barbara, I'm sure you'll keep me on track. My name is Jamie Toms. I'm the general manager of the AGI Shorewood facility in Thalgau. That's in Austria, right in the center of mainland Europe. I'm not going to talk too much for all those listening about the company. However, just to set the background, AGI Shorewood is a global producer of printed packaging for the consumer goods industry. It's approximately $900 million in annual sales. We employ about 4,000 people worldwide across 24 manufacturing facilities. We're privileged and fortunate to supply some of the largest brands in the world, tying into some of the things that Barbara was talking to us earlier. Our major market segments are home entertainment, beauty and personal care, cosmetics, consumer electronics, even the golf market, which is very exciting being an avid golfer myself. AGI Thalgau.
Jimmy, before you go on, I do have a question. As you look at those markets, are there some that are migrating much more rapidly to shorter runs for packaging by vertical segments, whether it's personal care or home entertainment, where those short runs are becoming much more important?
Yes. We're seeing certainly in, and I'll just pick home entertainment, which is a key market segment that we service from Thalgau in Austria. We're seeing a decrease in the average order quantity, certainly over the last 5 years. It could be somewhere from between an average of 5,000 units to 1,500 units.
And what kind of packaging would you produce for home entertainment? Is it, you know, DVD cases? Is it what kind of packaging do you produce for them?
The paper parts packaging that we produce, mainly for home entertainment, is the books or manuals in games.
Okay.
The inlays that you have in your plastic DVD box to higher end, more value packaging like the Star Wars trilogy slipcase and the trade products that goes on the inside of that with hot foil embossing and special finishes.
Great. Thanks, Jimmy.
No problem. Again, just to set the scene, AGI Thalgau in Austria is the largest offset or LIFO printer of paper parts since 1998. We're very privileged to service and be a key supply chain partner to some of the major film studios and also the European disc replicators. We are 95 employees. The location is approximately 7,500 square meters. It was a greenfield site. Now coming on to some of the key things. We specialize in large volume printed paper parts. The workflow here is highly automated using EDI and digital technologies from JDF workflows and JMF back from the machinery. We have a high level of interaction with real-time data tracking as to where's my job. Digital print capability is one of our unique features, which is what today's all about. I'll come on to shortly. We specialize in just-in-time delivery for our clients. So we specialize in ordering today and receiving the goods that you require tomorrow. We hold most of the European recognized ISO certifications from environmental to color standards, FSC, PEFC. We're approved partner for Microsoft. Okay, that's enough background about AGI Shorewood, just to set the scene of the AGS Hardware company and where it sits. I'd like to take a moment just to talk a little bit of a history lesson about evolution and the way I see some of the technology trends in our industry sort of going back through the 90s. And just to talk about what's happened, how fast it's happened, and what did it mean to us. I'm sure we can all remember imaging film using CTF, a computer-to-film device. We can all remember the vast or significant amount of personnel that we had performing the highly skilled film mounting job of layering the four colors of film over one another to create a perfect image. And then doing that and having to step and repeat it using devices which were Misomexes. Towards the end of the 90s, we saw the first CTP, computer-to-plate devices, come to the market. And we saw those, what we call repro houses in Europe, start to dwindle, start to disappear. As files became digitized, we had digital workflows, and CTP came in and changed the way we printed. What we saw was businesses that were unable to be on that technology curve and move to CTP at the right time, we saw them depart our business sectors. We saw the introduction of scanning devices, which enabled us to take the old analog film and digitize them. PDF workflows taking over from the old Cytex continuous tone and line work, and the need to have a native PDF workflow. The advancement in printing technology in the LIFO segment, movement to 10-color large format machines, whether they be straight with Perfecta or double-decker devices, doubled the size of the printed image sheet. And JDF and JMF workflows throughout our printing facilities, which enabled higher levels of automation. And again, we saw, and I'm sure many of the listeners and people taking part in the webinar today, saw a very good business that were unable to stay on the technology wave go out of business. And that was just a brief nostalgia look back on the last 20 years of technology in our industry. Where are we today? And this is a Jamieism, just a point of view, but it was very nice to hear Barbara talk about it earlier on. This is where LIFO or offset meets digital. We at AGI Shorewood, we saw it very much as a crossroads. The technology developed itself very fast over the last 5 years. I've personally been watching it with interest for 7 years across many of the technology providers. And we're suggesting, as the CEO of AGFA stated, the future is actually hybrid flexibility to combine both the LIFO and the digital process. I don't believe that digital means the death or the end of LIFO. I think it's where the two technologies now converge and the added value and benefits that we can have from merging the two technologies. I do see digital being a disruptive technology to LIFO and changing the way in which we view it. However, I certainly see where the two technologies collide and come together as an opportunity.
Hey, Jamie, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, the guys that didn't invest in CTP departed the industry. I have a question. Do you think, and I'm asking really for your perspective on this, do you think that the guys that don't take a long, hard look at making an investment in digital are going to be at the risk of losing substantial amounts of business?
Yeah, I think it depends upon your business and what you do. It's difficult to make a broad, sweeping generalization for all the printers that are taking part today or even the brand owners. But I think being a general manager of the business in Talgo, we had to do our due diligence and take a long, hard look at digital, like you said, and make that choice. Is the product portfolio right for that business and those clients where it's time for digital to meet LIFO or not? But definitely make an informed decision and an informed choice.
Okay, good. And can I ask a question? What was the number one driver for you then to make the digital investment? I mean, why did you decide to get in the game?
Difficult question, and I'm sure we don't have enough minutes to explore it completely. I would say the number one driver was the improvement in digital in the last 12 to 18 months. And with that, I mean being able to build the spectrophotometer, the device that actually measures color inside the machine, to keep it stable and keep the quality and the color standard stable throughout the run, for me, was the step that had been missing up until now.
Okay, great.
So I feel Barbara's really knocked the ball out of the park here in talking about what the clients and markets were asking for. We, and I'd echo many of the things that were said, talking about it from specifically an AGI Talgo perspective, what we were being asked for was the packaging was becoming not just the holder of the media carrier, i.e. the disc, the game, or the DVD, or even the SIM card or whatever it may be. It was being used for much more marketing and promotional material. I don't think anybody listening today won't have come across a QR code that can be scanned with a smartphone that takes you to an internet portal that takes you to a site to log into for your the marketing material of the consumers, a point of origin. We're also seeing clients want to add unique serialized data onto their products that can be used to validate that product as authentic, to fight against the copying and illegal copying or downloading of products. But we're also seeing an issue with that average order quantity going down. There are some tough times in the marketplace today, specifically in home entertainment, where, you know, potentially though that first release of a game isn't getting released for quite as many products as it was before until the first run has gone and then a reorder on it. Therefore, that need not to just overproduce in the LIFO way and stocking goods and that stock then becoming obsolescent while it's in the supply chain, but to be able to produce small to medium-sized runs or SKUs, deliver them into the supply chain, view how a product's being sold, and then react accordingly. However, the client doesn't want to and is not able to pay more for that. So how is that? How do we as an industry go about doing that cost effectively? We're challenged as a key supply chain partner to create efficiencies in that supply chain from design, conception, to actual production, to delivery, to the distribution center. And anywhere where we can delete or negate double handling or creating stock in one location and in another location and then in the distribution center and then in the store, whether it be HMV or MediaMarkt, or I'm really reaching now for an American equivalent. But we don't want to create all that stock in the supply chain that eventually could become obsolete and then becomes waste, then gets thrown away. And then we have the sustainability aspect of all of those processes. Our clients have expressed a need to us to meet the regulation requirements, whether it be language labeling or what we have is FSK logos for age and certification and PEGI ratings that are subject to change and could need to be updated. That can be viewed as variable data inside the graphical file. We've touched on sustainability. It is important to our clients. It is important to some of our clients and end brand owners that the paper can be FSC certified. Being able to offer our clients a CO2 neutral production process for their product is a unique selling point.
Jamie, we just got a question in. Somebody asked, what technology, we haven't mentioned it yet, are you using? And then how did you go about, given your product mix, selecting that technology?
That's a really good question. So the technology that chose and selected in Talgo is a Xerox iGen 4. It has an inline coating unit. And how did we get to that decision? We're fortunate in the European group to have a good core technology team headed up by our technology director, Lance Blizzard. And what we were able to do was we were able to take a patented test form that AGI Sherwood own, which is based on all of the FOGRA and ISO test tiles and images. And we were able to put together a portfolio of our clients' products from very simple inlays or wraps to more complicated images with graphics on, and we had a test package. And we invited the key players in the digital segment to take part in a testing process in which all of those products were produced. We were looking at them to start with from a image and color quality point of view, which allowed us to down select to three preferred vendors. From that point, we then ran stress tests and trials in terms of speed and speed of production. The imaging format for us was very important in terms of how many products we could put on a sheet. And in the stress test, what was also very important to us was the downtime in the process. So there is downtime with digital. Anyone that says different, it's not quite the truth. There is a cleaning and maintenance cycle that should be performed on a daily basis. So all of those factors we were able to put into a calculation. And in the end, the calculation and the balance with quality and stabilized color throughout the run led us to make the decision for the iGen.
Great. It sounds like you went through a pretty rigorous process.
Yeah, it was very rigorous. It was we had the benefit of viewing and talking to the key vendors of digital technology over the years. So we came with a level of experience. We came with a clear set of success criteria of, what the device needed to do. As always, provided it does what it says on the tin, then you're okay. But we needed to stress test that, and Xerox proved to be a good partner for that.
Great. Thanks, Jimmy.
The challenge is digital meets head-on for us that, I can talk about with you. And again, feel free to ask questions for those listening online. Our location in Austria is very central to the middle of mainland Europe. It means that we have good transportation routes into Germany and France and areas in Western Europe. We can also deliver into the Czech Republic and then going further south into Hungary. So that means that we can do short, fast run, quick turnaround and get the goods delivered using a means of delivery mechanisms from DHL to truck and transport delivery. Digital offers us something unique where we can further meet the needs of precious lead times and short turnaround to give the end client just more flexibility. The ideal timeline is always, we've got a schedule, we're producing this month for next month, and, a lot of people listening know that's just not the way it is. The artwork's always late. The street date of the launch, whether it be Procter & Gamble, L'Oreal, hair coloration, doesn't ever move back. It needs to be hit. And nine times out of ten, the manufacturer in the middle is getting the lead time squeezed. We see that using digital technology, one is able to produce the smaller runs more cost-effectively. Of course, it's dependent on product and what's going on the sheet. But if I say, on average, somewhere between 1,000 and 1,000 and 3,000 pieces is more cost-effective to produce digitally than it is using LIFO. Of course, that is very much dependent on what the product is, and that's a very complicated statement to make. But in general, as soon as we're down into the 50s, the 100s, the 200s, that equation becomes clearly a no-brainer. But we have seen the disruptive technology curve of digital push up that number higher than the 50s, the 100s, and the 500s into the 1,000s. Waste reduction plays a large part in that. A state-of-the-art LIFO printing machine today, may make ready between between 75 and 150 make ready sheets. That's going. We're also seeing the average make ready times fall from 20 minutes to potentially 10 to 15 minutes. Again, very much job dependent. However, on a short run cycle of low quantity, those make ready times and that downtime and that waste percentage of paper has a big impact on the unit price, and it's coming out at a cost neutral point. Forgive me for the terminology of making paper dirty. I mean it, with all of the respect and a little bit tongue in cheek. All we're saying is producing the same product digitally allows us as manufacturers in the supply chain to add more value to it than just printing it. We've spoken about coding, QR codes. We've spoken about augmented reality. not just the brand owner, but the end consumer, our children, our children's children, are expecting to see those things. And a lot of those things can only be done in a digital workflow, in a digital space. Think about two-dimensional QR codes again. However, clients that want every single product to be unique, not just one QR code that takes you to a website to download, but every single one being unique and every single one authenticating that product. Things like that become more difficult in just the LIFO space. I'm certainly not saying it's not possible. Using drop-on-demand technology, it is. However, more complicated, and the tooling costs for that can often be prohibitive. We've spoken about the advantage of obsolete stock in the supply chain, the impact of our carbon impact on what we do. And I was challenged in the past between are we on the cutting edge of technology or the bleeding edge? And with that, I mean, it's a very fine line between when do you go CTP, when everyone's saying CTP will never take off, it's not going to work, the imaging heads aren't good enough. The only way we can control our content is to image films and distribute film. Well, I challenge now, digital is at the cutting edge of technology, and now's the right time. I heard a lot of people say CTP will never take off. I remember in the days when we had Cytex workflows a PDF workflow was never going to work because we must separate the CT and the line work, and that's the only safe way of working. RIP wants to have many. We are now, pretty much predominantly full PDF native workflows. And that's all I mean to challenge, with that comment. I'm happy for any feedback at that point. The products that we're producing digitally, just to give you a taste and a flavour, is booklets, inserts, prospects, brochures, document folders, to flyers, business cards, blocks. With that mean, the writing books. Invoices, billing, letters, letterhead, calendars, and of course each one of those products and the presentation is one of those difficult things to see, but each one of those products can be personalized. It can be uniquely personalized, it can be personalized to the business, and the more capability we have of doing these things, the more the demand's going to grow, as Barbara spoke about earlier. But again, it's not replacing LIFO. It's where LIFO meets digital. So it may well be that the cover or the inside pages of a booklet get printed digitally, but the rest of the booklet might follow a LIFO process. That's an important point for how we as a company see the two technologies. Okay, when to move from LIFO to digital? It has to be the same. Define the same. If I were to talk to, lay two products side by side, and I would talk to a LIFO printer with 25 years of experience and give the printer a loop and ask him to say, now, which product's LIFO and which one's digital? I would hope, certainly, if it were one of my printers, he'd be able to tell me. Absolutely. However, what looks the same is dependent on the person that's looking at it. And one of the things that was really important to us and in our success criteria is every sheet and every product If we apply the Ugra-Fogra media wedge, which is a color tile, can be measured spectrally by spectrophotometer or an I1, and we can measure the spectral value of color. We start taking that, well, you know, I don't like it, and to me it looks a little bit this way, a little bit that. At the end, you are either inside the ISO color space or you're not. And provided the product is inside that color space and looks right, and when I say looks right, I'm talking about the gray balance. We're talking about the skin tones, talking about gradients, that they're smooth and the quality looks good, and we're inside the ISO color space, then it's the same, yeah? Now, you can't look for a dot. There isn't a dot. But the image looks the same. And when you put the product next to the offset product and you put the two products next to the color-calibrated proof, which is certified by measuring the spectral values, it should be the same. And whether one product on a shelf... and I'm thinking about potentially we go and buy some hair coloration, as you have seen by my picture. I don't buy any because I don't have any hair. However, the two products side by side, where the end consumer picks up the two products, must be the same. And that's a defined success criteria when we talk about when to move from LISO to digital. We have an inline coater. I believe it's one of the only inline coating solutions to an iGen 4 in Europe, or one of them. And the reason we do that is to blend the convergence point between LISO and digital. So what we do is we apply the same aqueous coat or varnish or protection coat to the product in line after it's been digitally produced, as we use on our LISO machines. That enables us to be even closer to the look and the feel and how the substrate or the paper feels in your hand for the two processes. Dependent on your products, dependent on, you know, your cost base, whether you're in Western Europe or Eastern Europe, or I'm sure we have people representing the Asia markets listening. And the next piece will be specific to your business or your industry. You know, backwards of 3,000, but you know it starts making those quantities make more sense, but also do some special stuff and add value to them. How do you, and I think Barbara touched on earlier, how do you fill the device? We believe it's important that as the manufacturer and key supply chain partner, you decide the products that run and run well and that part of your product mix. And then based upon your order portfolio, you know, we've developed a digital workflow that then takes the files, puts them on the sheet, and essentially fills the queue, just like you've got a networked printer in your customer service area. Everyone prints to the printer, and it has a queue, and then the machine works through the queue. The longer you run these devices and the fuller they are, the more benefit you have. So it is important that there is enough product in your product portfolio to run the device. I was asked a little bit just to touch, and this is the very last slide. I know we're running to the 60 minutes of time. Just to touch on the future, unfortunately, I don't have a crystal ball, and it's very difficult to say what it's going to be. So very much just my point of view, and what we're seeing is We require higher levels of automation. That means anything that we can add on and do as an inline process as a one-stop function is good news. We're seeing that it is possible to do things like inline die cutting, you know, things like inline die cutting with an emboss, and produce one or five products, whether they be promotional samples or personalized for the brand owners before the major release, to see what the product's going to look like. I know a lot of people will know about, you know, we need to see a wet proof or an actual printed sample, and therefore we have to buy 2 hours of press time at, you know, $500 plus, because we need to see the product. That's quite interesting. Further strides into personalization, further strides into making the products unique, and being able to order today for delivery today, not tomorrow, which is going to be a challenge that we have to face.
Well, Jamie, that was tremendous insight. And I think just in wrapping up, what I'd like to do is first and foremost thank you for your wise advice. And I think the big thing that you should be taking away from Jamie's discussion is now is the time to start looking at and embracing new technologies, especially with Drupa 2012 coming up, where we know we're going to see a lot of emphasis on the world of packaging and digital. I think you looked at Jamie, and Jamie has done a fabulous job at re-engineering and retooling his work processes so he can deliver just in time. He's got a group of customers he's engaged in. He's done a good job at really what I would characterize as investing in the right infrastructure, and he's well prepared, I think, for an interactive world, which is going to blend that package with social, mobile, and online technologies. And with that, everybody, what I would like to do is thank you for your time and attention today. Have a great day, and if we didn't get to your questions today, you know, please feel free to submit them, and we will get back to you. Again, thanks so much for your time and attention, and have a great rest of the day.